It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Giordano.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Mike Coffey. Unfortunately, Ed's off tonight. Sorry for the late recovery here. We haven't done a show in like 3 weeks. But in any event, unfortunately, that's what happens every now and then. If we just don't get paid the money that we should be paid, Coffey, and therefore it doesn't.
That's why they pay us the little bucks, right?
There's no obligation. Hey, so both you and I went to the game Saturday. Great atmosphere, and I'm kind of curious. I mean, you see that blog that does the what are the five things that we learned? This was definitely one of those games where we learned a whole heck of a lot about this football team. The one thing that we didn't learn, because you and I have known this since last year, and that's Cam McDaniels.
Oh, absolutely.
Deal. So that was nothing new for us, but I'm not going to sit here and take shots at Andrew Hendricks. I mean, everybody in life has a bad day, and he had a bad one.
Oh, he absolutely did. And the thing of it is, we've seen him have better days. I must say it was a little bit disappointing to me. I know a lot of people have talked about, well, he's the backup to the backup and all that, which is all 100% true. But having said that, you know, it was a little disappointing to me that the guy who is the second-string quarterback looked so not ready for prime time. I mean, maybe it was nerves. There was all kinds of things it could have been. But to hear people say, well, he's not getting the reps in practice. He's a second-string guy. You know, can't more than one quarterback practice at a time? I think he's better than what he showed us. But the fact of the matter is, everyone gets a mulligan, that's his. But you know, as much as I want to see him keep the red shirt on Zaire, you know, circumstances may demand otherwise, as crappy as that may be.
Yeah. It was not his better day. So let's hope that's all it was, and all those fluke things.
Certainly.
Because he clearly has come in and looked better than that, and it's just, you got to go with that. Hey, let me ask you this, because it's been a while. I'm trying to think of the last. I always come for one home game a year, essentially. But certainly 2 years ago, I was at the USC game and noticed a change in the tactics of the crowd and how they got into it early on. But what were your thoughts on the overall atmosphere? You know, a lot of recruits were there at the game. But how did you feel about the actual atmosphere in Notre Dame Stadium compared to USC?
Well, and actually my point of comparison goes back a little further. For a long litany of reasons, not on purpose, this was my first time in the stadium since I believe it was the Michigan game, Weiss's second year. I believe the one where we just got pounded. I think it was like 38-10 or something like that. And due to various personal circumstances and all that, and again, not on purpose, I hadn't been in there since. Now, a number of things obviously were different than the last time I was in there. The scoreboards they had up there have the more LED style displays, and of course we have the piped in music and all of those other things. Now, I was sitting in a section of the stadium that you would think would make me a poster child for wanting to put a screen up. I was in section 21, row 12, so I was in the southwest corner, like down below the entrance. So you would think I'd be looking, oh, I wish I had a screen, I could see that. Because, and especially since I was in the corner of the stadium where it seems like after the first quarter, nothing happened. We like played the entire game up at the north end. But I was able to follow it fine. If I could see whether a play was relatively successful or not, and then kind of look up at the stats, and I'll say what yard line we're on. Okay, great, I can do that. But I liked the fact that everybody in my section, even though they didn't have a television to show them the replays or that, they stayed in the game. They were loud. They were standing. I did have one old guy behind me tell a young guy next to me to sit down once or twice, but he pretty much was willing to get up during the key times. And I thought the stadium was very loud. And as old fart alumni as this is going to make me sound, I really find the piped in music off-putting. This, the whole, like, the Seven Nation Army and shipping off to Boston and all that stuff. I mean, I would say one of two things. Number one, can't, if we're going to have these songs, let's have the songs, but can't the band play them? Is there a reason why we have to have the piped in version? Why can't the tuba section go dun, 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 dun? So at the very least, it would sound a little bit collegiate. Barring that, again, if we're going to have music in the stadium, why can't we commission unique stuff? Why do we have to have the same warmed over crapulence that you get in an NFL stadium and every NBA stadium you've ever been to? Why can't we have something unique? Why can't we blaze the trail instead of just following along what the Penn States and Michigans and other guys of the world do?
Yeah, and I mean, I wonder if part of that is just because of the world that we live in today, and especially when it comes to recruiting, that a lot of that stuff does matter. I mean, I will say this. I think it's really interesting because 5 years ago, which was the last time you've been there, I really felt like it was a huge disadvantage for us when teams would come to Notre Dame because it's an easy place to play. And I was thinking to myself, man, there's just so many people that are so diehard Notre Dame fans that have been ticket holders for so many years. They're not the kind of people that are going to get up and go wild and nuts and create an atmosphere that's an advantage for this football team. But, you know, 5 years later, I feel differently. I thought the atmosphere was great Saturday night. And like you say, there were some key moments where people were really into it. And really key points, I mean, certainly in the second half. I mean, no doubt about it. For me, I was lucky. I was opposite of you. I was the northeast corner, but I was on, like, the 20-yard line.
Uh-huh.
So I saw a lot of football.
right there close. Watching the whole thing, weren't you?
Right there. Now, I will say this. I'm going to complain here. I'm going to be a
now, be careful. The fans of the podcast are going to say that I'm rubbing off on you guys. So,
yeah, there you go. I'm going to complain right now, and that is there's a hell of a lot of holding going on, and we don't get any calls. Now, we got a lot of calls against USC, but you know what? It was all night long. Tuitt was having his jersey grabbed all night long. And he could have called it every damn play. And I felt like that against Arizona State as well. I mean, there were some holding calls that I didn't feel like we were getting, and guys are just grabbing jerseys and getting lazy. So, you know, these refs are going to have to figure something out. I know a lot of USC fans are going to be pissed because they're going to think they got homered. But you know what? Those were legit holding calls.
But wasn't that also like a Pac-10 crew? If I'm not mistaken, working it.
Yeah,
I love how what was it? What was the game that people thought they were, like, Arizona State thought they were getting jobbed? That was a Pac-10 crowd. If you're getting jobbed, kids, you're getting jobbed by your own crews. So what are you complaining about? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's right. It was Pac-10. I think it was ACC doing the video replays. And I didn't get a chance to look at any of the video replays, but I'm assuming those were all legit. I didn't
believe it or not. When I got back to the house I was staying at Saturday night, our host popped on the DVR and started watching the game all the way through. I ended up getting to bed in the morning. And I must admit that's another one. I completely understand why home game or night games are attractive. I'm sure they're attractive to NBC for the advertising. They're attractive to the coaching staff and to the players, and I totally get why they're attractive. I don't like it because really the game becomes the end of your day. You can't do anything really after the game. There's no going out to eat. There's no going back to the place where you're staying, getting a pizza and rewatching the game and say, hey, did you see this? Oh, you remember this? That was a fun part of my Notre Dame experience in my immediate postgraduate years. So it's kind of it's disappointing to me that experience is going to be sacrificed on the rocks of progress or whatever. You know, if that's what happens, that's what happens. I mean, there's only so many battles we can fight at this point.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because my brother had all his buddies in from his Notre Dame gang. He's a graduate of Notre Dame. They were all in for the weekend, and sure enough, they go back to the house 11:30 after the game and stick it in and start watching it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I guess there's a lot of people that do that. I will say this. I mean, it was just a great, great atmosphere. I thought it was a great college football game. I mean, a rivalry game. These guys just get after it. That's what you expect. A lot of great plays, but man, what as much as we needed a great defensive effort, we saw it, and I thought it was huge. And hey, Tuitt supposedly all week long was looking like his old self during practice.
Well, that's great. And you know what? I think this was the first game so far this year that I walked out and I said to the people I've been sitting with, hey, this was the first time I saw the 2012 defense back. And Tuitt, I think, was a big part of that. I mean, he really did look like his old self. The Southern Cal offensive line could not handle him. Most of the holding calls they were making were the guy who was assigned to Tuitt and trying to stop him, and they just couldn't. In second half, especially.
Yeah, that's right. He was a little monster. You know, and I will say this: I've been a little bit hard on Calabrese, but man, he played a hell of a football game, and that's two in a row for him. I thought he really played well against Arizona State. You know, I've been critical of him this year only because of the huge difference from the closing speed standpoint that we enjoyed with Tail. Clearly, I don't think Calabrese has that closing speed, but what he has shown in the last couple games is I mean, he's always been a tough guy. He's that kind of guy, but I thought he's really adjusting well and made some, you know, huge tackles. And I think that if he continues to show the kind of leadership, which is what we need, and I've always thought that we've just not stepped up this year from a leadership standpoint on defense, and that's been part of our problem. These guys really did step up Saturday night, so this could be a huge stepping stone for them, for this football team, you know, heading into these last couple games.
I agree. I think these next three games, the difficulty is going to be that it's probably the weakest section of our schedule overall, Purdue notwithstanding. I think you have three teams that are all just very, very beatable, and Notre Dame has to beat them and has to beat them very soundly. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be like 50-0, but we need to walk out the next 3 weeks saying, you know, those were fantastic efforts. That's a high quality team, because if we have any chance in hell in getting into the BCS this year at 10-2, we need to start showing before we get to Stanford that we need to start looking the part. So that way, if we do get to Stanford at 9-2, and they're still a one or two loss team, and then they can build that, because you know ESPN won't be able to resist. Oh, that's a game for the BCS berth, and then they would look really stupid if the winner of that game didn't get one. And I think Stanford beatable. Yeah. So,
well, I think they are. I will say that some things got to happen for us, but I don't think they have to be great things. I mean, certainly it would be awesome if Stanford can win out. They got the game against Oregon. But I think even if they were to lose that game, that's not going to hurt them too badly. So if Stanford just only loses to Oregon on its way out, then they're going to be in the top 15 when we play them.
Absolutely.
And that's what you need as your last game of the year to separate you from the guys that are going to be in conference championships that'll lose.
Absolutely.
You know, things like that. So things are heading in the right direction. I do think BYU is going to be a tough game for us simply because they got the scrambling quarterback, which is going to be, you know, our Achilles heel, as it's always been. But you're right. This is the momentum of this football team and where it's at right now, heading into these three games. There's a lot of opportunity for us to showcase a lot in these next three games. And I think solid wins, like you're saying, none of this struggles where we pull off a 3-point victory, even like we did last year with Pittsburgh. And I think last year's Pittsburgh team was a better football team, so I really can't see us losing. However, as we saw in the second half, we're not that far away from being a not very good football team if Tommy Rees isn't in the game. Or what do we do if Tommy Rees has that lay an egg game? Because every quarterback does that once a year. Terry Bridgewater, ask him about his game the other
night.
Well,
and now you've got, even if it is just like a neck muscle strain, those soft tissue injuries can be really, really tricky. And, you know, goodness knows our offensive, it was really funny. Literally the play before he got sacked, I looked at my buddy and said, you know, say what you want about the offensive line, and I really wish our run game was better, but they really can pass protect. We've got to be in the lower echelon of Division I in sacks given up. I mean, we must be among the best at not giving up sacks. And then, of course, the next play, Tommy gets absolutely drilled and comes out. But when you have a soft tissue injury like that, you kind of get concerned that even if he heals up quick and he gets in ready to play, that's great. You're maybe just another mistimed or bad location sack away from, well, now he dinged it up again, and now we have to get Hendricks back in there. So,
yeah, and I think that I'll be – I mean, we all know that Brian Kelly is going to be in Andrew Hendricks' ear this week, and for all the good reason, because I think Andrew Hendricks is a much better quarterback than he showed Saturday. It's unfortunate. That stuff happens. Why? Who knows? He just had a bad night.
True.
And, you know, when he did come in the second half, I mean, we were there. That the rain was coming. It's cold. It's wet. Who knows? I mean, all this stuff kind of adds up. He's not that bad of a quarterback. He had a bad night, so they'll be on him this week, and he's going to react, and he's going to be differently. I did want to ask you, did you see the film that NFL Films did for the Onward?
You know, I must confess I did not. We were tailgating up to game time, and I had meant to set the DVR before I left for South Bend, and naturally forgot. From the people I know who have seen it, they say, as a friend of mine said, it seems like everything NFL Films touches turns to gold. I mean, they do so many great things, and they just put together such high quality work. I'm going to try to find the next time it's on so I can either watch it or DVR it, because from what my friends have said, it sounded like it was great.
It was really well done. You know, I'm fortunate. A buddy of mine that I went to Notre Dame with was in my dorm at Dillon Hall. Digger O'Brien is a guy that's on the staff at NFL Films. So he's intimately involved with that, and I get a chance to talk to him every now and then. But, man, that you're right. Everything they do is primo, top-notch, and it was really well done. I got to believe they're going to use this with recruits. Mostly because I really truly think it was a very honest assessment of Brian Kelly, his staff, and the football program. I really do. I didn't think it was at all a bunch of, you know, choreographed, totally scripted promotion for the football team. It wasn't that at all. I thought it was very genuine. It was really down to earth. And it was impressive. I mean, there are guys that spend a heck of a lot of time paying attention to a lot of little details, and ultimately, which is what drives success. I mean, Brian Kelly's been a big proponent of that from the very day he stepped on campus. You know, we are going to focus on the little details that matter, and these guys do it, and they do it game in and game out. And I thought some of the just the way they went about it and the stuff that they covered was really, really cool. Now, I don't know what you've heard, but obviously there was some stuff going out about one of the commits that we got as a result of I think it was the wide receiver.
McKenzie, I believe.
Yeah. So he essentially tweeted supposedly that he's given their verbal commitment. A bunch of guys were at the game. I can't imagine that it went bad. You know, I mean, if you were a recruit at that game, that's
well,
it cool
certainly seems it certainly
there.
Seems that they're, the, yeah, mm-hmm. it really seems that they're from everything I've read on the various recruiting sites, it seems like it was a very positive thing. I mean, anytime you have a weekend like that, Notre Dame's going to feel like they did well and they made up ground or really impressed the recruits that are there. I have no reason to believe they didn't. I think it's certain the atmosphere was great. Everybody seemed like they were pretty fired up, and I think it went as well as you can expect something in the barely measurable world like recruiting to go. I mean, I think this is the best result you can expect, which is great. I think it was a great atmosphere, a great result.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll translate into a commitment or two.
Yep. Yeah, I know that about it. And I think that, you know, they got their work cut out for them still. There's a lot this football team needs to improve upon. We're not probably near the level we were last year at this point in the season. However, it certainly was, I thought, a telling sign for what they needed, and that was a staple heart defensive effort. And they got it, and it was a – I mean, that is a – I don't care what anybody says. Now, Marquise Lee was out in the second half, I think early, right? I don't think –
Yeah,
I think he left.
Yeah, I think actually early. He got hurt at the end of the first half, so he didn't even – he didn't play at all the second half.
Didn't even get in there. Okay. Well, the truth is, though, there's you know, there's some talented guys on that football team. They put a lot of points up and a lot of yards on almost everybody they played this year. So to hold those guys like we did, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's a hell of a defensive effort.
I agree.
And they needed that. I think it's the best thing that could have happened to this football team going into these next three games, as you say. And if they can take care of business solidly, you know, nothing less, I think, than 10-point wins. With you know, some domination a little bit, where the game doesn't seem to be in jeopardy late in the third quarter, then these guys can be positioned for that final run at Stanford. I do think BYU is going to be a battle. I can sense.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I think the most important thing about the next two games, maybe even the next three, is that we finish the third quarter with a 3-score lead. Maybe even more, so that I'd like to see Andrew Hendricks play, and maybe Max Redfield and some of the other guys get them a chance in the next two games especially, and if I'm going to be greedy, let's say Pitt as well. Make sure those games are well in control, so the depth gets a chance to really get their feet under them. So I'd love Hendricks to be able to come in a non-pressure situation to kind of get the bad taste out of his mouth and really give him a chance to really perform at a high level and get people talking about that and not the 25 yards and 2 first downs.
Yeah. You know, I will say this. This may sound a little crazy to you, but I almost, if I had my way, I would love to see Andrew Hendricks take snaps on Saturday. If Tommy is at all, like you say, soft with the tissue and it's not 100% healed yet, don't even risk it. Because I think that what it would do is it would be a chance for Andrew Hendricks to recapture what he needs to do and just, you know, solidify himself as not the guy that you saw Saturday night, because he's not that bad. And I know that everybody is down on him right now, but in my mind, he's not that bad of a quarterback.
No, I agree.
And therefore, it's just one of those things that happens. You know, everybody goes through a bad day, so be it. I really think it'd be neat, even if Tommy is going to play and he's ready, I'd love to see Kelly put him in like the end of the first quarter.
Sure.
You know, maybe we're up 7-0 and get him in there when it matters. Let him on a series. Give him that chance to redeem himself a little bit. And stick to the run. You know, that's what he is. Let's not kid ourselves. He's a guy that's going to pull it on. So be it. But get him in there when it matters so that he can get this thing off his back. We're going to need him again. Tommy's going to get knocked down. He's not going to go healthy without getting hit the rest of the entire season, especially against playing BYU and then Stanford. You can't be in a situation where it's that much of a drop-off so that your team just immediately deflates the second something bad happens.
I agree.
You can't have that.
Can't have it at all.
So we'll let's hope that all gets cleared up. And well, let's do this, Coffee. I'm gonna hope that we can do another show right before the game on Saturday. But you just never know the way these last couple weeks have been going. We'll do our best, but we'll try and make Thursday work. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Mike Coffee, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.